I found out 5 minutes ago that I'm doing this introduction, so here we go. No, I'm really excited to introduce Sebastian Sheets. He introduced me when I got to speak here a couple years ago, shortly after the lockdown, so grateful for that. So Sebastian, I met him through our co-founder, the ministry at Practice Ministries, and have just gotten to know him through the years. Great, great man of faith who loves Jesus and loves his family and his wife and his kids, or his kid, I should say. So Sebastian, his wife, Ashley, they have one adopted son, Grayson. He goes to TCA, and he actually does a Practice Ministries group with his son and some other dads. So I get to see Sebastian often, and when we really have fun, we go out to the golf course and dance and try to make holes in ones, but that never goes very well with us. Sebastian has something on his heart that I really look forward to hearing today. Him and I spoke last week, and I'm really excited to hear from him and what the Lord's put on his heart. And so thank you, Sebastian, for doing this. I want to pray for him as he comes up. Pray for us. Just prepare our hearts as he comes up. So if you would, pray with me. Lord, we love you. Thank you for these men that have gathered that want to hear from you. God, that want to lead their families, that want to be the father that you've called us to be, Lord. And sometimes, God, we just don't know how to do that. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us, that you would show us, God, that you would show us areas that we need to repent from and turn away and come back to you, Father God. So be with Sebastian as he speaks, as he shares this message that you've given him. And God, may we have ears to hear it and eyes to see it. And hearts to change. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who paid it all for our sins. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. How's everybody this afternoon? 12:17. Man, I'm excited to share this. It was about 4 months, 5 months ago, I said, Bill, I think I've got something that God wants me to share. And this isn't your typical testimony. This all really started with me thinking about what it means to be a dad, using the Bible as this representation of what fatherhood is. So we look at the God of the Bible as our guide to being what a dad is. And this is kind of, I'm speaking to the choir here. We see, you know, a lot of guys here who've been through the curriculum, you know this, but I started thinking too about what did it look like 2,000 years ago when Paul took this message of Jesus outside of the traditional area that he was from, which was filled with Jews, and he took this message to the Gentiles. And I had the pleasure, it's now 7 years ago, to be in Athens with a bunch of other Christian men and women who were really kind of walking in the footsteps of Paul. And got to see the place where Paul went and talked to the Stoic philosophers and deep thinkers of the day and tell them about this new message that he had. So thinking about that, but then also just right at the same time, it's amazing how God kind of puts things together for you. My son was reading a book series about a kid named Percy Jackson. It's fiction, and really, I'm just actually glad that he's reading a lot. And the kid has read 2 million words this year at school. Like, he's a fourth grader. I don't think that I read 2 million words from kindergarten through 12th grade. And so part of this is this book series, Percy Jackson. It's a, you know, kind of a modern retelling of some Greek myths. And if you think about what was Paul doing 2,000 years ago, he was talking to some guys that believed in Greek myths. Actually, they weren't myths to them. That was their religion. And so I started thinking about, well, how do you compare those two religions of the day? And this is what Paul was up against. So I'm going to start with in Acts. And if you've got a Bible, follow along. Acts 17, verse 16. So this is, I'm actually switched from NASB, which is the non-Armenian standard Bible, to the NIV. So Paul's in Athens. So while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. Yeah, well, a polytheistic viewpoint of the world. You've got this pantheon of gods. You got idols everywhere. And so he reasoned, in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him, and some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" And others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." Well, yeah, actually just one, guys, just one foreign god. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting at the Areopagus, or Mars Hill. And I actually had the chance to sit on Mars Hill, and you can look down on the city of Athens down there, and then you can look up this way, and you can see the Parthenon. And that's where they would meet every day. And they would, as in verse 21, it says, "All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas." So that is something about man, isn't it, that we want to know what's the latest, greatest idea. And so Paul had an idea, and he had a different worldview for these guys. And so that was a clash between two worldviews. This worldview that they had before was a pantheistic view, and here's Paul, who comes with a different view of what fatherhood is like. Versus, well, what did they have before? So let's just dive in real quick. What was the worldview that these gentlemen had about how to view the world, how to interact with others, but also what does it mean? How should we be a dad? So to them, their worldview, their religion was, like I said before, a pantheistic view. And the head guy in that religion was Zeus, or if you're a Roman, it was Jupiter. And you can think of him as not kind of the head god, but kind of like the head of a board of directors. And on this other board of directors are people who are like in charge of the sea, and you're in charge of wisdom, and you're in charge of war, and none of them are perfect. They're all kind of fallible. You see, because men came up with this religion. Now, men were trying to fill a God-shaped hole in their hearts. Writer of Romans says in 1:19, "In reality, the truth of God is known instinctively, for God has embedded his knowledge inside every human heart." So these guys knew there was a God, but they took their fallible, sinful view of the world and they imparted it into this worldview of God's. And so their father figure, this Zeus fellow, was an absentee father. Now let's juxtapose that with the God of the Bible, who is, as we learn in Joshua 1:9, we're commanded to be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you, what? Always. Wherever you go, right? Or always. And so Zeus was never around. He had all these kids, and he was never there for them. He was unfaithful. He would cheat on his wife with anything and everything. I mean, like with animals. It's disgusting. The God of the Bible that Paul came and told them about was loving and was faithful. The God of the Bible gives good and perfect gifts. You know, in Matthew 7:11, and Jesus says, it's like, you guys are sinners, and you know better than to, when your son asks for a loaf of bread, to not give him a stone. I'm paraphrasing here. You know better than if your kids ask you for a fish, to not give them a serpent. So how much better will our earthly father give gifts? Now juxtapose that with a little story about this fellow named Zeus. Him and his buddy Prometheus, they created man. This is what these guys believed. And Prometheus thought, hey, you know, it'd be a really good idea if we gave man fire. And Zeus said, that's a terrible idea. Because if we give them fire, someday they will be better than us. So here we got the God of the Bible gives good and perfect gifts, and then the God that they're, this the father figure that they're looking at, doesn't even want to give you fire? So going on with that story, Prometheus decides, I'm going to go ahead and give them fire. And Zeus decides immediately, with this very, very quick temper, well, I'm going to take you up to the mountains, chain you up, and I'm going to have eagles come and eat your liver every day for eternity. Whoa. Juxtapose that with the God of our Bible. Is slow to anger, is what he says, right? Be slow to anger. Zeus was full of strife. So these guys were looking at a father figure that was really okay and promoting strife in his own family. And what does our God say about our family? To have reconciliation, to have harmony. Yeah. And I think the one most important thing is that with really all these old religions, the old worldviews the people had was that their gods told them to work up toward them. You got to work hard to come up. Maybe if you make it, if you're just perfect enough, you can come sit in Olympus with us, or you can come in Valhalla with us. And the thing that's different about what Paul came to them and says, no, 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 no. Our God came down to us, right? So two different worldviews there. Now, we don't follow any of these mythologies anymore. Well, maybe we do, actually, because I think that right now there are some modern mythologies that are pervading our culture, that are pervading even the church, these ideas. And just like old theology, old mythologies, it's a way for man to describe the world. How did order come out of chaos? That's what the guys thousands of years ago were trying to describe when they thought of these different gods that were coming up with the creation of the world. Well, this modern mythology would have you believe that all the matter in the entire universe, 13.8 billion years ago, was compressed into one little singularity that could fit on your finger, and it exploded into life. And then elements were formed, and then planets were formed, and then now I'm standing up here with an iPhone. Time plus chance, right? Now, personally, I believe that a big bang needs a big banger. So I still believe that there's design in that. But this modern mythology would also help have you believe that because there is no God, then you're kind of your own God. And that there is no absolute truth. That the world is divided into those who have, those who don't, and we need to flip that on its head. And these new modern mythology priests are going to be the ones who decide who among us is worthy to have good things. This modern mythology also would tell you that the power of the individual is really subject to the state. And I think that all of these modern mythologies are really kind of born out of the critical theories of 1930 Germany or postmodernism out of France, really started from a place that said, hey, there's injustice in the world. I agree that there's probably injustice in the world. Hey, things aren't fair. Yeah, they're not fair. It's not a perfect world. Let's create a way to make things fair. Well, here's fallible man, again, trying to come up with a worldview, and it's a false worldview. This is nothing new. We think this is the latest thing. This is kind of like when Paul was up on Mars Hill. We're hearing the latest and greatest things of these new thinkers. There's nothing new here, guys. We're going to look at Mark 7, 21 through 23. Evil originates from inside a person. Coming out of a human heart are evil schemes, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, treachery, debauchery, jealousy, slander, arrogance, and recklessness. I've got several here, but I'm going to cut straight to Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death. So here we go with some modern theologies. Modern mythologies. We're trying to describe the world and make it a better place, but yet man, again, is messing it up. And so you've been presented with three different worldviews. How should we act as fathers? And look, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know that the biblical representation of fatherhood is the right one, but why does it matter? It matters because right now there is a war for the souls of our children. And if you don't believe me, you haven't been watching the news. I want to give you some statistics that you may have read in Bill's book, and here's some new ones as well, about kids who come from fatherless homes. Young boys, young men, who come from a fatherless home are three times more likely to commit suicide. I heard a psychologist say that suicide in boys is a reflection of our inability as a society to help track boys towards manhood. So we as a society are creating boys who don't have a purpose, And when you don't have a purpose, then we see the results of that, don't we? 5.5 times more likely to be expelled from school, more likely to go to prison. I thought this was an interesting stat. You take boys who come from a fatherless home, more likely to go to prison, versus boys who come from a mother and a father, or even just a father. The same likelihood of going to prison versus kids who come from a fatherless home. This is also the same for girls, higher BMI. Boys who come from a fatherless home, boys and girls who come from a fatherless home, more likely to be obese. And as we know in this country, that is also the leading cause of most every other disease in our country. They're less likely to graduate from high school. 75% of boys and girls who go into substance abuse programs come from fatherless homes. They're more likely to lack purpose, to be emotionally isolated, to be emotionally insecure. And here's something that's interesting, some new data. This is a biological reason why we need men in the home. Boys who come from fatherless homes have 15% shorter telomeres. What does that mean? Telomeres are in your chromosomes. And there's research that shows that the length of your telomeres is correlated to how long of a lifespan you'll have. So basically, we're cutting boys' lives shorter by having fatherless homes. In girls, much the same thing, less self-esteem. Girls who come from fatherless homes are more likely to be victims of physical abuse. Girls who come from fatherless homes are more likely to engage in risky behaviors. Don't really need to go into that. So I think we've made the case clear that we need dads. We need dads that are following a biblical representation of fatherhood. So to conclude, what's the application here? Well, be present. Don't be an absentee dad like Zeus. Jupiter is his Roman name. Be present. Be loving. Be faithful. Slow to anger. Give good gifts. I'm not saying you give a 16-year-old a Ferrari. I mean, that would be a pretty good gift. But ultimately, that's not a good gift for someone with that not a whole lot of responsibility. We need to abide. Abide in our family. Abide with Jesus. Speak truth in love. You know, the modern mythology would say, well, love is love. Love is love. Well, no, it's not very loving to allow someone to walk down a path that we know will lead to their destruction. So we speak truth in love. We tell our kids who they are in God's eyes. You know, modern mythology would tell you that you can be whatever you want. You feeling like a he, they today? Go for it. But the God of the Bible, the Father in our Bible says, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I have a purpose for you. And I think the most important thing, above all, is to model reconciliation, to show what it means to forgive, to show what it means to be forgiven. Because modern mythology would tell you that, you know, there are certain sins that you can't be forgiven for. We see that in cancel culture today. What did Jesus say? Well, there is a path to redemption, and it's through him. And so we model that to our kids. Boy, I do this a lot. Say, man, you got to forgive me. Dad messed up here. But that gives him a chance to come to me and say, hey, I'm going to take ownership in a piece of this. Will you forgive me? And yeah, because that's what our Father in heaven wants for us. And so with that, I hope I've convinced you that the Father that's represented in the Bible, the God of Noah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God that Paul went and confronted a worldview in Athens with, is the one that you should believe in and take those practical applications into being a dad today. Thank you.